presenting the Johns Hopkins section of a community academic partnership. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that community academic partnership today. Many of you have heard of community academic partnerships, and today I'm going to talk to you specifically about one particular kind of partnership and how it's been put into practice. The presentation objectives are to describe that partnership, to discuss how these partnerships can actually lay the foundation for in-house capacity building around program evaluation, to identify how a conceptual framework can actually be a tool for that program evaluation, and then also to apply that conceptual framework to a specific community health program situation, and so you can see that illustrated. First, I'd like to just go over the partnership that we have going on. It's a grant-making model. The funding agency is Johnson & Johnson's, and they partner with an academic institution, which is Johns Hopkins School of Public Health and the School of Nursing, and then also with grantees of the Ozark Mountain Health Network to build organizational capacity for program evaluation. And I'd like to also recognize that today, in fact, in true partnership style, we have representatives from all three of these in the audience. We have representatives from the Johnson & Johnson's branch. We have myself and my director, Dr. Fonseca Becker, from Johns Hopkins. And we also have Sarah Bates, who is here from the Ozark Mountain Health Network, which is our organization that we're going to be talking about today. So essentially, the partnership works like this. It's a flexible model that's been applied around the country for a range of public health projects. Through a competitive selection process, Johnson & Johnson selects community organizations that will receive 2 years of funding for their proposed projects. Each year, there are usually about 10 agencies from a field of more than 100 that are selected for these grants. In turn, also a competitive selection process takes place to find doctoral students at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health and the School of Nursing who will be providing individual technical advising for evaluation techniques for these agencies. In addition to providing the scholars, Johns Hopkins School of Public Health also provides overall administrative support and infrastructure for the partnerships. And the our director is responsible for training and advising the students in their roles as technical advisors. The scholars are then matched with the community partners in a given agency, and we work closely with our agencies for the 2 year period building that in-house capacity for evaluation. So as an illustration of this and the highlighted partnership that I'm going to be talking about today, the Ozark Mountain Health Network in northern Arkansas applied for and was granted funding from Johnson & Johnson's for their Reach Out and Connect project. They were matched with me, a doctoral student at Hopkins, to provide the technical assistance, and I'm trained and supervised by my director, Dr. Fonseca Becker. The program goal is not for the scholars to come in and do the evaluation, but rather to facilitate the learning process and so that the agency acquires new and improves existing sustainable evaluation skills. And then they can apply those to future projects after the funding has ceased. So to provide a little bit of background on the Ozark Mountain Health Network, it's a nonprofit collaborative health service organization that serves two extremely rural, remote counties in north central Arkansas. Understanding that there's a significant need for outreach in these communities, the network structures its projects and initiatives to facilitate disease prevention and healthcare literacy among those that are underserved, such is the case with the Reach Out and Connect program, which from now on I'll be calling the ROAC program. As context for the ROAC program, the communities that are served are Van Buren and Searcy counties. The people of these counties are geographically dispersed and medically underserved with high rates of extreme poverty. The two counties have a cumulative population of about 24,000, and the overwhelming majority of the residents are white, although there is a growing population of Hispanics in the area. According to the 2000 census, The median household income is half that of the U.S. average, and nearly 20% of the residents live below the poverty line. The education is lower in the U.S. average, with fewer residents completing high school, and a vast majority not having the opportunity to obtain bachelor's degrees. Additionally, the two counties have a higher percentage of persons that are over 65. As far as access to care, 20 to 32% of the persons are uninsured in these two counties, which is well below the U.S. and the Arkansas average. When asked why 62% said that they could not afford coverage, 51% of the adults felt that they needed to see a doctor actually forewent the visit because of cost. And 25% of adults in these counties report not having routine checkups in the past year. This is compounded by poor healthcare provider to patient ratios, which is something that a fellow presenter from the CHF mentioned in her presentation. Needless to say that this then also has an impact on the health status of the residents. We see that the prevalence of chronic disease such as hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and hypercholesterolemia are higher in Van Buren and Searcy counties than many other areas in Arkansas and also in the U.S. The statistics are actually likely to be underestimates given that the population has limited access to care. So in this context, the Ozark Mountain Health Network developed their ROAC project. But then the question becomes, how does a project know when they're actually making a difference? And that's when evaluation comes in. Good evaluation requires the clarity of purpose, and this is the focus of our initial work together. As the scholar matched with the ROAC program, I traveled with Dr. Fonseca Becker to my site shortly after the partnership began. But rather than lecturing and on evaluation, we engaged in a participatory process that lay the foundations for evaluation through conversations about the project, its context, and the desired outcomes. We worked collaboratively with the staff around their goal to make sure that it really represented what they were wanting to do. And through this process, we also worked together to develop objectives that were actually measurable, time-sensitive, achievable, and realistic. We also then decided on accurate indicators. And we examined their current data sources that they were already collecting and tweaked it to make sure that they were gathering what they were supposed to gather. Excuse me, I have a little frog. While this process can be challenging sometimes to put it to put into words exactly what it is that you're wanting to measure, the end result is invaluable because it really clarifies what exactly it is that you're going to be evaluating. One of the things that we needed to do was think about the process, what it was exactly that they were doing in the program, and how that was going to be measured. They identified the need for healthcare screenings and health education among the rural poor, as well as the need to increase awareness of what healthcare resources were actually available. They also recognized that transportation was a major barrier. And so through the ROAC program funded by Johnson & Johnson, the Ozark Mountain Health Network was able to address this need. They took the screenings to the rural locations, and through health fairs, churches, community centers, and health advocacy groups, they held health screenings for cholesterol, blood pressure, and glucose. Those with elevated readings were then counseled on-site by an RN around diet and exercise changes. So they would go through the testing. If they had normal values, they would get a health info packet and Medicare, Medicaid applications, and ARC kids as appropriate. If they were not normal, they would meet with the RN. Maybe some left without, but most of them did meet with the RN, who would then give them appropriate counseling. And this is actually some photos. That is the van that they take to the different locations. that road is a lonely stretch of road, but that's part of the process as well. And there's a number of materials that are given out to the patients or to the people who come in for the screenings, and then that's an illustration there of the cholesterol and blood sugar testing. But why a conceptual framework? From the start, the conceptual framework helps to identify those variables, what's being collected and what needs to be added. And also it can serve as a roadmap for going forward. It can also serve then as a reference as you go through the program. And sometimes we get so close to our projects that we can't see the forest for the trees, and the conceptual framework is a nice way to go about that. For the ROAC staff, Dr. Fonseca Becker and I, we developed a conceptual framework for that project. We started off with the final impact outcomes, and for this case we actually interchangeably use the word effect because we're looking at the effect of the program on that population, not necessarily generalizable to the larger population. So the long-term effect for this is that cholesterol and blood pressure levels will decrease. The next component is we look at the interventions themselves. What are those interventions that the people who come to the screenings are actually exposed to? From that, we look at mediating variables such as what are the health beliefs of the people who are coming in? What is their knowledge? What is their attitudes? And what are the beliefs about that? So we can look to see how the effect of the interventions takes place on the outcomes. We move to the intermediate outcomes, the data that would indicate a change in healthy behaviors that directly impact cholesterol and blood pressure levels. The ROAC is relying on self-report data about diet and exercise for these. But then, of course, we do need to consider the background variables, and we selected several that we would like to measure. And so then this conceptual framework helped us realize that actually in providing the screenings for everyone, we could only measure up through the mediating variables and the program interventions. But then there were several people who were coming back to another a second screening, and that we were able to build in the capacity to measure the intermediate and impact outcomes for them. So essentially, we went through the process of refining the data sources through emailing and phone calling back and forth between me and particularly Sarah. And then we went out and I did a second site visit and we worked on database development. We conducted a training and the staff were trained to create that database and learning how to enter the data into EpiInfo. We discussed how to handle the real world data, including missing values, and streamlining that process. The ROAC staff then finalized the EpiInfo database for monitoring and evaluation, and they really took ownership of that and then just used me as a reference. I would double-check some of the versions and troubleshoot and also provide advice, but they really took ownership over the whole thing. And then once that was completed, the ROAC staff began entering the data from all the sheets that they had gathered at the health fairs and built their database through that. And the next thing that we're working on is data analysis and then also presenting the data that is a result of this evaluation. So in summary, as far as community and academic partnerships, the CBOs are critical for bringing health access to remote communities, but they also depend on demonstrating a positive effect on their clients in order to sustain themselves and grow through grants and such. Thank you. But they understand how evaluating this project and presenting their results as far as numbers in addition to anecdotes actually lends credibility to the project and to obtaining future grants. The partnership model really does do a combination. It combines all three sort of expertise in the technical expertise from the School of Public Health and the School of Nursing, the funding operations and resources through Johnson & Johnson, and then also the local knowledge and the local expertise of the Ozark Mountain Health Network. And so this is a structured way in that the CBO can evaluate the needs and evaluate the effect while gaining sustainable, transferable skills. And in addition, I, like my other the other scholars, receive invaluable field experience through this partnership. So I'd like to just take a little time to give special thanks to the ROAC staff, the fellow Johnson & Johnson scholars, Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Program, and Dr. Fonseca Becker, who is a key point in the sustainability of this project itself. So thank you.